Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagan, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the show, my friend. I am so ecstatic that you're here. Thank you for spending your time with me today. I have a very, very special episode for you. I am sharing an exit interview with the most recent Nutrition Coaching with Nicole graduate, Liz. Liz and I have had the pleasure of working together for the past several years. And that is because Liz has undergone a complete transformation, not only in her relationship with food, but also in her relationship with her body and bodies in general. Liz has done the work that few people will ever dare to do. And what I mean by that is when Liz initially filled out a coaching application, she thought that she was going to look, feel, and show up in her life the way that she wanted to when she lost weight. So she did that. We helped Liz to lose inches and pounds and wear smaller clothing sizes. But after creating this new reality for herself, Liz started to wonder if what she really wanted was a leaner, smaller, lighter body to begin with, or if perhaps there was more work to be done. So after working together for quite some time, Liz and I started opening discussion up around the idea of removing weight and body change from her goals altogether, and instead trying to challenge the systems that teach us that certain bodies, namely smaller, thinner, lighter, leaner, whiter bodies, are better than other bodies. So Liz's journey took a wild turn, and the progress she made as a result is incredible. Liz, first and foremost, I would love for you just to introduce yourself. Tell everybody listening a little bit about who you are and what life looks like for you.
So my name is Liz. How old I am, but Lord help me if I can even remember. I live in Michigan with my husband of 12 years-ish, I think. It's been a long time. And then two kids, Riley just turned 8 and Connor is 5. So yeah, I think that's just a little bit about me and who I live with, I guess. At least my name and who I live with.
I love it. Yep. Those are your people. And don't worry about it. I told someone I was the wrong age on a podcast episode recently until my husband corrected me. I had no idea. I was not, in fact, 35. Thought I was. I'm not. Not yet. So Liz, it's been a little while, but if you can think back to when you first committed to one-on-one nutrition coaching, what did you want to achieve? What goal were you trying to reach?
I actually remember this like surprisingly vividly. I remember it was pre-COVID. We were actually at church for something. I don't remember if it was a Sunday morning before church or after church or during the week for something. Cannot remember, but I remember kind of sitting in the area where we all just kind of sat and chatted and just was thinking about how, you know, over the summer recently or at some point recently, I had said something about I can't have ice cream because I'm fat or something really disparaging like that. And my daughter, who was, I don't know, 2 or 3 at the time, something like that, she goes, I don't want to be fat. I want to have ice cream. And I remember like the level of horror that just kind of washed over me that she's repeating those words. She doesn't know what they mean yet, but she's repeating that. I was like, oh my God, I can't say stuff like that anymore. And so I was thinking and thinking. And then at church that, you know, morning or whatever, I think that was when you and I actually had our first connection call. And I just remember thinking, I want to be a good example for the kids. And I want to make sure that they know that being healthy is important. And sometimes you need help to do that. And I need to have somebody to help me with that. I don't know that I can really keep doing it by myself because I'm not doing as well as I would like to. So I think I need somebody who is a little bit more knowledgeable just to help guide me to get where I need to be.
Love that. Love that you were not afraid to reach out and kind of recruit some support in your corner, knowing that, hey, mm-hmm. I'm trying to do this on my own. Hasn't happened yet. So I need some mm-hmm. assistance. I need some help. Now, tell me a little bit, Liz, about how you thought weight loss was going to play into that goal versus how you see weight loss today.
So back then it was, I remember being really happy with my body when I was like early 20s, I think. And I had lost a bunch of weight recently and I was feeling really confident and I could just kind of buy whatever I wanted online and it always looked good. At least I thought it did. And I remember kind of wanting that feeling back and thinking, you know, I'll be a lot happier, more confident if I just had that back. And then as we kind of went through, you know, I went on a pretty steady path of losing some weight and then it kind of plateaued for a while. And I, you know, when we worked through it for a couple of years and I finally started thinking about, is it really, I feel like it's starting to be like a struggle. Is this really what I want to do? Do I want to feel like I'm struggling to do this? Is this really going to make me as happy as I think it is? And you and I had, you know, several conversations about it. And then I started really looking into anti-fat bias stuff. And I think that's what really triggered it for me is thinking, I don't need to look a specific way to be happy. That's not going to make me feel more confident. That's not going to make everything suddenly better. What I want is to just be happy however I am and feel good on top of it. Like I don't want to sit around feeling like junk either. I want to make sure I feel good, but also not really care essentially what my body looks like. Like it can be any weight. And as long as I feel good and I'm, you know, medically healthy, that matters more than what the scale says or what size clothing I'm buying.
Yes. So before we pressed record, I actually went back and was looking at your action plan, which for everybody mm-hmm. listening is kind of the very specific steps that we set together on coaching calls. Mm-hmm. And at the very beginning of every coaching client's journey, we always set what we refer to as a big, powerful goal. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the beginning of your journey, your big, powerful goal included that you wanted to consistently feel energized and confident in your lean body, which is an mm-hmm. amazing goal, right? There was nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that. But then as you alluded to over time, you started to question whether reaching that goal needed to be associated with a lean body composition. So when it became more of a struggle and we started to notice some of that resistance that you were speaking about, we reset the goal and we started doing some unpacking. We started digging a little deeper and then you changed the big, powerful goal to something that felt more in alignment to you, which was mm-hmm. I feel happy and confident in my body, no matter what it looks like. I feel good on a daily basis and I'm setting a good example for my children with regards to leading a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So for everybody listening, I know you are aware of this, Liz, there's nothing there that is talking about how your body looks like or the shape or the size or the level of leanness in that body. But you felt as though that revised big, powerful goal more accurately encompassed what you were setting out to achieve. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. And I remember like really kind of thinking, you know, I'll be much happier at this weight and I'll be much, you know, more energetic if I, you know, can just wear the size and not worry about my clothes or whatever. And then kind of stepping back and thinking, will it though? Will I feel better if I look that size when it's running around with two kids and a husband and then the pandemic hit? And do I really want to so heavily focus on trying to be a certain size when I'm not somewhere in my life where I really feel like I can put the full focus on that. I think, you know, and I decided it was more important for the kids to see that it doesn't matter what you look like as long as you're healthy and happy.
And I think it's so important. You've alluded to this a couple times, Liz, that mm-hmm. not having a weight loss focus does mm-hmm. not mean you are not prioritizing health. right? Weight loss and health are not synonymous. So while weight and body fat percentage and leanness are no longer a part of your big, powerful goal, you have mentioned you want to feel really fantastic. And that still means a lot to you, right? Wanting to feel like you have the energy to keep up with your kids and to say yes to every adventure. That is more the focal point as opposed to an outcome or a body composition that you can't directly control.
Right. Yep.
Why do you think you were under the impression that weight was what needed to change at the beginning? Do you think that was like societally driven?
I'm sure that was part of it. I think some of it too, again, was just kind of thinking back to when I was, you know, thinner and almost idealizing that versus looking at that time in life and thinking what else was going on that was making me so happy. You know, I was looking at it as like, well, being the size made me happy. Well, did it? I mean, it was nice. It made things easier in terms of shopping because that's what a lot of stores cater to. But is that the thing that really made my life so enjoyable at the time? And, you know, I think if I'm honest, it really wasn't. You know, my husband and I were newly-ish dating. I think we'd been together a year or something like that. You know, I had a lot of good friends. We were doing a lot of fun things in our early 20s. And so it was really more just the time of life, I think, more than anything else. So kind of taking a step back and taking that weight part of it and stop, you know, and not idealizing that anymore and thinking about what really made that time happy, you know, and what can make this time happier. Not that it's unhappy, but what can make this time of life even better than it is.
I love that. And essentially, if we flip that analogy, we're saying that, let's say you're less happy now, or someone listening finds themselves less happy today than they did when they were in their early 20s. That doesn't mean it's because your body is bigger than it once was, right? Or because the number on the scale is higher than it once was. Like maybe there are some other factors at play, like surviving a global pandemic or full time with more stressors and, you know, more obligations now that you have small children to care for when perhaps in that earlier season of life.
Yep.
So Liz, tell me this, what are, or what is some of the progress that you are most proud of having made over your coaching journey?
I think the things that I'm most proud of are I think there's a couple things. So one of them is understanding that I don't need to go to the gym 5 days a week all the time to be able to move my body. I can take extra walks around the block, or I can just make sure I'm moving more in the house and doing a lot more things around the house to get the movement in. The gym is great. There's nothing wrong with the gym, but I had associated, like, if I'm going to move, I have to be at the gym. Or if I'm going to move, I have to be doing some form of exercise. But I can be just walking around. I can just be moving in general, and that's still good. So kind of being more reasonable about what exercise is. And then I think understanding the nutrients in food better has been a good thing as well, because it's helped me really understand, like, you know, hey, this chocolate isn't bad, but have I really had the things that I know will make me feel better? Whether the answer is yes or no, I think you and I were talking about this right before this, but talking about, is it really what I want in the moment? Or is it something that I'm just kind of reaching for mindlessly and really thinking through, have I fueled my body in a way that's going to make me feel good? Or am I just continuing to reach for fun foods and beverages? But what I really need is, you know, a turkey stick or something like that, just to think about what I'm eating, what are the nutrients in it, how is it going to leave me feeling, that kind of thing.
With any conventional dieting, we look at food through the lens of how is this going to help me lose weight? So good foods, bad foods, low calorie, high calorie foods, et cetera. And now, even how you're talking about foods, it's more along the lines of, well, how is this going to nourish my body? What is this going to give my body? Maybe it's nutrients, maybe it's energy, but maybe it's also just pleasure and comfort. Tell me how you look at bodies in general, how that has changed, not just your own body, but that too, but how has the way that you view bodies in general changed since you started pursuing more education surrounding anti-fat bias?
Yeah. So I know we've talked about this a couple of times now, but one of the things that I actually started doing, and it felt like, total disclaimer, felt a little creepy at first. I was like just going and staring at these bodies. But at the same time, I would sit and challenge myself as well. You know, if I had an unconscious reaction to somebody's body who was bigger or smaller, I would kind of stop and take a look at the picture for a few minutes and say, like, why do I feel like this body is better or worse than a different body? What's really not great about it? Or, you know, why do people think this body is so much better? And just even after asking that, Tayana, take a step back and just looking at the shapes that the body makes. And it's something that I've always enjoyed, but not really thought too much about, is just watching the different shapes the body can make and seeing how it moves and how the muscles work together and things like that. Like, it's always been pretty fascinating to me. And just looking at people's bodies, which, again, I feel like sounds really creepy. I'm not just like creeping on people's bodies, but I think it's an interesting thing to look at and just trying to see the different shapes that people are and how people are built and how it's all so different. It's just fascinating to me to sit and kind of look at some of that stuff. And I had it earlier, even I think this week or late last week, I was looking at jeans on a clothing website and the model was bigger, and immediately I was like, oh, that's weird. Then I went, wait, is it? So I scrolled back and I looked at the model and the jeans that were on her, and I was like, why do I think this is not a great look? And kind of challenged myself on that for a few minutes. I was like, this is fine. There's literally nothing wrong with her body. Like, why did I have that reaction? And just kind of challenged it a little bit, I guess, and really looked and thought through it. So that's been a big change for me, I think, is really kind of looking at bodies and challenging what's good or bad about them.
So this
spoiler
is
alert, there's nothing bad.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's weird at all. I actually think this is so fascinating. One, because I think all of us do this, whether or not we're aware that we do it. We're always looking at bodies or other people, or we're subjected to them in media, or like you said, mm-hmm. you know, looking at clothing online. Perfect example. And we pass these judgments based on our conditioning, based on our upbringing. And I think that what you have been unpacking is you're detangling the systems that have taught us that, like, we should value thin bodies over bigger bodies, or we should value white bodies over colored bodies, or any of that. Mm-hmm. You're intentionally breaking down or deconstructing the systems that taught you that one is better than another, when in reality, all bodies are beautiful bodies and mm-hmm. they all have something to offer. And I think that it feels strange, perhaps, or it feels foreign to question that knee-jerk judgment. I guess it is a judgment that we mm-hmm. all have initially based on what we've been taught. Mm-hmm. But that is so beautiful, because you're questioning this wrong belief that so many of us hold, that people in larger bodies are not as beautiful, are not as worthy, are not as healthy as people in smaller bodies, which we know now is just not the truth, not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's bring this full circle. You mentioned that at the beginning of your journey, you felt somewhat convicted because of a comment you made that your daughter absorbed with regards mm-hmm. to living in a larger body and not being able to eat ice cream. How do you think working on your relationship with food has impacted the relationships that your children have with food?
I think it's been positive. We don't worry so much about what they're eating. Like, not that we really worried before, to be honest, but I'm not, like, if they ask about having, you know, a bunch of dessert or something, we'll kind of have a conversation about, well, dessert's fun, but we're not going to have dessert every day. Like, it's just not something that we need to expect that we have. We'll have it sometimes and it'll be delicious, and then we move on. So we don't make a point to say, you know, this is like, oh, we can't have dessert today, we had it yesterday. It's just, well, no, we're not going to have it every day, but maybe we'll have some tomorrow. But sometimes at dinner, you know, I'll kind of sit down and look at what we're eating and say, you know, what do you guys think that broccoli gives us that we need in our bodies? And, you know, they're like, I don't know. I said fiber. And what does fiber do? And they're like, I don't know. And then, of course, all of the poop jokes then ensue because they're small children and it's hilarious. But kind of walking through those things and making sure that there's the knowledge that all of this food on our plate is something that our body needs. And I remember actually adding on to that, my daughter one time in the car saying something about, we shouldn't have too much of something. Lord, help me if I remember what it was. But I said, you know what? You're right. We shouldn't have just that because that's not good for us. You know what else we shouldn't just have? She's like, what? I said, carrots. Because if we only had carrots, that wouldn't be good for us either, because we're not getting everything we need just from carrots either. So it turned into a conversation about we can't have just one thing on our diet. We have to have variety. And the, you know, I think it was chips or something she was having weren't bad, but if that was all she had, she'd feel pretty gross all the time. And so it turned into more of a moment of, you know, these chips aren't bad, but eating just one type of food all the time, that's probably not great either. And it's something that we've actually kind of talked through a couple times since. Like, she's brought it up more than once of, oh, we don't want to eat just this. We need more food than just this. We need something else too to go with it. So it's just kind of been cool to watch her kind of adopt some of that, what does our body need mindset versus, oh, chips are bad, we can't have just chips, or, oh, chocolate's bad, we can't have just chocolate, and see her kind of accept that message of your body needs all kinds of things to function at its best.
I love that. So clearly she's been watching you build balanced plates that incorporate a wide variety of food, where if you're having ice cream, you're not just having ice cream. You're not going down that fucking spiral of like, well, I might as well just eat chocolate for the rest of the day, you know, because I've already
Yeah. But, and we do make a point to like say, all right, well, you need to at least have, you know, 2 bites of the meat or something on your plate before we have something else. Just like, hey, your body needs this in it, and it's going to help you feel best, you know, for dance class. Both of them take dance, and say, well, you need to fuel your body for dance class, so let's make sure we at least have 1 bite of protein, just to kind of help make sure they know that there's that balance that's needed. But we're not, we also don't make a point to like force food either, because we don't want to go to that other extreme of like, you know, making food bad in that terms of like, well, you have to eat everything on your plate. Like, it's a hard balance as a parent to find, I feel like. Like, you want them to eat what and just be full and be happy, but you also want to help eat a variety of things. Because we're pretty sure at this point our son is part uncrustable. I think his body is starting to morph into one, because that's his preferred mode of food is uncrustables.
Who doesn't love a PB&J? I mean, let's be real.
Right. And the weird thing is they eat them frozen, Nicole, and I don't understand how that happened.
Okay, that's not personally appealing, but I cannot.
I know. I'm like, why do you do that to yourselves? Like, oh.
Okay, so you're at a different stage of mom life than I am. I have yet to kind of enter that like picky stage, but it is very challenging. I mean, like you said, it's difficult, the balance between fed is best. I want you just to eat what feels good for your belly and for your taste buds and to be fed. And also different foods give us different nutrients and we need a balance of them. We need a combination of them, even though some may not taste as palatable and they may be more tart or they may be more, you know, just like bland in comparison to the hyper palatable things that we want to eat more of. But I think, yeah, we go through the same challenges as adults, right? Mm-hmm. It would be so much easier just to sit down and have chocolate and tortilla chips all the time. Mm-hmm. And we know that that probably doesn't leave us feeling our best. So I think you're doing the best possible thing with your little ones, that is helping them to turn inwards and ask things like, but if you ate just chips, how do you think you would feel at dance class versus add a little bit of the protein, or you added, you know, some of this to your mac and cheese or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, Daniel Tiger, man. I'm telling you, when Cole gets that age, Daniel Tiger, that show actually is very incredibly helpful with raising children.
Okay. I'm going to have to.
We'll sing those songs. So there's a whole episode on trying new food. And so we kind of use that a little bit and say, well, if you haven't had it, let's try it at least. And you tell me what you do or don't like about it. So it kind of helps get them to try some stuff if they haven't tried the recipe before. But we also have them help pick out the vegetables too, some, you know, for dinner time. They'll pick them out at the store if they have to go shopping with dad that day. And if they don't go shopping with dad that day, you know, I'll open a freezer and say, well, we have this and this. What do you guys want to have? And they pick the vegetable for the day. And they don't always eat it, but they're more likely to eat it when they pick it.
Okay, Daniel Tiger. You heard it here first, or at least I did. I've never heard of Daniel the Tiger before.
Daniel Tiger's great. The Tiger,
but not Daniel the Tiger.
PBS kids, man. PBS kids.
Okay, so Liz, second to last question that I want to ask you. Your expectations coming into this journey probably look very different compared to what you're leaving the journey with. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Regardless of that, do you feel as though you are walking away today healthier than you were when you started.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think even if it's, I think my, you know, lab numbers in terms of the doctor office, I think those are better. That's not a drastic change. I think it's almost more my mindset is healthier, which then makes everything else feel a little bit healthier. So physically and medically in terms of my, you know, cholesterol and all that, that's, I think, definitely better. But in terms of just feeling like food isn't some big struggle of life, I feel so much better with that. It feels like it's just food is food and we need it to exist. And that's the end of it, honestly. You know, like we said, if it's, you know, if you eat too much of one thing, you're not going to feel great, but it doesn't need to be this big, mysterious, like secret of life of how to eat the best. It's your body needs food. And so go eat. Like if you can only eat some things, at least, you know, go eat what you have and make the best of it and try to understand the nutrients that you have at your disposal and make the best with what you can do. And I think if I had known that earlier in life, I think at one point I was, you know, college part-time job, I think I had like something horrific, like $10 a week for groceries. I think if I had known more then, like I do now, I would have spent the money a little bit more wisely. It would have been a lot less carbs. It would have been maybe a few more cans of tuna because that's a fairly inexpensive protein to get. You know, so it would have been more things like that to help me feel the best with what I had at the time.
I can completely understand that. So I can wholeheartedly say that everything about my life got healthier when I started thinking about and worrying about food less and, mm-hmm. and weight less.
Mm-hmm.
My health and mental health is health, right? Like,
right, right.
Often. But I think also my physical health got so much better. And it sounds mm-hmm. like your experience echoes that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, final question. If mm-hmm. there is a woman listening who is in a position similar to the position you were in when you started coaching it, and she believes that what she needs is to get back to her early 20s when she was lighter and leaner and happier, and weight loss is going to be the answer, she feels. Mm-hmm. What one piece of advice would you give her based on your experience?
Oh, man. I think I would say whether you've had kids or not, your body is not the same as it was when you were in your early 20s. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't expect to feel the same way physically that you did then, because that's just literally not how things work. And I don't think I really understood that until we were a couple of years into coaching. And I think that it's important to kind of remember that your body changes and that's okay. And really think about what's going to help you feel best, because trying to look and feel like you did in your early 20s is probably not going to happen. You're going to look different and you're going to feel different. And it doesn't mean that you have to feel worse. You can feel just as good, but it's going to feel different than when you were in your early 20s. It's just, your body's different, your life is different, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I would echo that and just say, maybe instead of looking back, shift your perspective to look forward. What's the mm-hmm. healthiest, happiest you can be now, today,
yeah,
in your current circumstances?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that for sure.
Well, Liz, I am so incredibly proud of you. And I hope that you are proud of you, because you have created beautiful, beautiful progress in your life, in your relationship with food, in your body. And I know that your little ones are also going to continue being positively impacted by the work that you've done. So thank you for letting me share this journey with you.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. It's really been wonderful, honestly.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.